So yesterday night, we heard about how Krishna is Yasoda's son and Nanda Maharaj's son. We heard about how they had a dream and then they actually perceived, they performed austerities to Lord Narayan, and Lord Narayan assured them that a beautiful, blue, soft as an atasi flower young child, baby, would be born of them and they should have no worries and no fears. And then beautiful baby Krishna was born. And the residents of Braj were overjoyed. At first they were living in Gokul. Gokul is on the other side of the Jamuna. And while they were living there, Krishna was very small and very, very naughty. Sometimes he would go and steal butter, like we saw in the picture. And he was very frightened in case he would get caught. And sometimes he would grab the tail of a calf with his two hands and pull, and the calf would go running and he would be pulled through the cow dung all around the courtyard. Then when he became a little bit older, Krishna along with Balaram decided that they wanted to take care of the calves and they wanted to go out into the forest. And Mother Yasoda was very much against this because she was always keeping Krishna close to her. Nanda Maharaj often said, Krishna is a milk-fed boy. But Krishna wanted to go and he went with his friends and they played and they laughed by the bank of the Jamuna. And everyone in Braj loved Krishna. Everyone was only thinking of Krishna and Krishna's pleasure. Once there was a Kaliya. He appeared, he'd been in Vrindavan actually for a very long time, and Krishna was curious about him. And he came to the bank of the Jamuna and he jumped from the Kadamba tree, and Kaliya wrapped him around with his coils. And when Nanda and Yasoda came there and they saw Krishna in danger, their hearts cracked. But Balaram, he held his father back from running into the water to save Krishna. And with his eyes and his laugh, he assured everyone that Krishna was not in any danger. Then we also know that Krishna lifted Giriraj, and we are sitting here right beside Giriraj. He lifted Giriraj up and all the cows and all the men, lakhs and lakhs, billions of cows. Giriraj expanded himself so large so that all the residents of Vrindavan were together under Giriraj. And then he danced with those young gopi girls. He danced with them on the full moon night. And the night became as long as a night of Lord Brahma, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, days and nights. He danced, he extended the dance for such a long time. But to the girls of Vrindavan, that long time with Krishna seemed like a flash. And a flash without Krishna seemed like an eternity. And then, of course, we know there were many demoniac friends of Kamsa who came to Braj, and Krishna very easily dispatched them. And in this way, Krishna and Balaram herded the cows and laughed and played and enjoyed the love and company of all the residents of Vrindavan. Meanwhile, in Mathura, one day, the great sage Narada Muni came to visit King Kamsa. When he came in, Kamsa greeted him with great respect because he was a follower of Vedic culture. And he sat him down very respectfully. And Narada told him something that he didn't already know. He said, "Do you know that Vasudev lied to you? He took his eighth son and he hid him. He protected him." And Kamsa was furious. He said, Narada said, "You know who the eighth son of Vasudeva is? It is Krishna, and he is in Gokul." And Kamsa got out his sword, and he was going to kill Vasudeva right on the spot. But Narada said, "No, no, don't do that. Instead, you should invite Krishna and Balaram to come to Mathura immediately." Then, as soon as Narada had finished speaking with Kamsa, Narada himself went to Vrindavan. And he saw Krishna alone. And he came to Krishna and he offered his prostrated obeisances to Krishna. And Krishna looked at him and Narada looked at Krishna. And Narada became stunned by the beauty of Krishna, the beauty of his eyes and the beauty of his hair, the beauty of his transcendental body and his glistening yellow dhoti. But Narada had come for a special reason. Narada said, "Now you, my lord, are bewildered by the love of these Vrindavan residents. And I have come to tell you what will happen in the future. Tomorrow, cruel Kamsa will send a crura here to bring you to Mathura. Then you will kill Kamsa." Narada saw that Krishna had become pale, as if in shock. And he changed the tone of his voice. He said, "You will kill that jackal-like Kamsa, the enemy of your devotees. And then after killing him, you will give back the kingdom of Ugrasena and you will rescue your parents." Krishna thought, "It is only right that I would give back the kingdom of Ugrasena and then I will return to Vraj." And then he said, "You mentioned my parents? Who are my parents?" Then Narada replied to Krishna's confusion by describing one verse that Gaga Muni had said when at Krishna's birth ceremony, wherein he told that formerly you were the son of Vasudeva, and therefore one of your names is Vasudeva. Krishna began to think about this. He thought, as a person may lose a Chintamani jewel and find it again. He will be very careful not to lose that jewel again. I think that Vasudeva and his kinsmen may not tolerate my departure from their company. Krishna became worried. Then Narada explained to him some of the immediate events that were about to take place. He said, during the time that you go to Mathura, Vraja's King Nanda and the other cowherd men will remain in Mathura. They will be anxiously waiting for you to return to Vraj. After consulting with Balaram, you will approach Nanda and you will tell him, my dear father, you should return to Vraj. Hearing this, Krishna said, ah, and my father will return, leaving me there? Narada said, although their bodies will return, only their bodies will depart. Their reluctant hearts and minds will not return. But this is something that the eyes cannot see. You will say, my dear father, please return to Vraj and rest assured that I will be coming back to Vrindavan in a few days and Nanda will firmly believe your promise. Krishna said, and when will I return to Vraj? Narada replied, when your friends and kinsmen of the Yadu dynasty become satisfied in heart. Krishna said, and when will that be? Narada replied, to satisfy them, you will struggle for a long time. You will stay in a great network of duties until hundreds and thousands of Kamsa's followers are destroyed and you have created a wonderful dynasty of sons and other kinsmen. Krishna said, oh, Narada, a great calamity will befall me. Powerful ropes of duty will bind me. Narada replied, a great calamity will not befall you, but it is your nature that sometimes you interrupt the happiness of even your most intimate associates, who are just like the limbs of your body, in order to relieve the suffering of those who are more distant. Krishna sadly replied, the thoughts of the suffering of my people of Braj makes me wither in pain. Narada said, Vasudeva and the Yadava dynasty will make arrangements to initiate you into the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra. Then, traveling on a palanquin, Rohini will arrive from Braj for that ceremony. But no one else will come from Braj. To see you initiated as a Kshatriya would bring great suffering to their hearts. Shri Krishna thought in his heart, alas, bereft of Yasoda's company, Rohini will become so sorrowful. Rohini always stays with my mother. How can she be separated from her? And then he composed himself and he said, still, I will not talk of this. He said, when they hear my adventures, will the condition of my mother and my other associates in Braj, who have no shelter other than me, what will be their condition, who depend only on my mercy? Narada replied, please listen to this small event. After your schooling in Avanti, you will return to Mathura, and then you will decide to return to Vraj. But your parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, and the other elders of the Yadu dynasty will forbid you to depart. And thinking that auspiciousness will not come from jumping over my superiors, you will be filled with sorrow and you will remain in Mathura. And thinking that a person named Uddhava, a humble person, like a glistening festival of Vaishnava qualities, thinking he would be the perfect person to execute your work, you will send him to Braj to pacify all the suffering of your dear associates there. The elders of Braj will not permit you to return because they will be thinking that if you go to Vrindavan, you will never come back. They will secretly reason in this way. Then Krishna asked a question. He said, then perhaps the residents of Braj can come to Mathura. They can come here. Narada said, no. The people of Braj will not come to Mathura. You told them that you would come back to Vraj. And the secret of these words is that when you told them you would come back, you are instructing them, don't come to Mathura. And they will not come because of the request that you have made. As Krishna heard more and more of the predictions that were being told to him by Narada, he became very, very, very sad at heart. And finally, Narada assured him that after killing the last of the demoniac friends of Kamsa, Krishna would indeed fulfill his promise to the residents of Vrindavan and he would be reunited with his family members and his friends. Narada Muni spoke so many things. And then Sri Krishna, who is the bliss of Braj, and Narada, who is the sage of the demigods, both wept many tears. They manifest a great host of symptoms of ecstasy, and they spoke to each other words of love. And then, sadly and slowly, they parted, each following the path dictated by their own heart. And everything happened exactly as Narada Muni predicted it. The following morning, sent by Kamsa, Akrura set off for Vraj. He arrived at sunset. He met Nanda Maharaj, and then he spoke in private to Krishna and Balaram. He told them of the cruelty that Kamsa was inflicting upon Balaram's parents. He spoke very expertly and very cleverly to convince them both that they must come to Mathura immediately. Krishna then called his father. He told him to arrange a big meeting, and Vraja's King Nanda acted very slowly, because now he was starting to fill, his mind was starting to fill with worry and doubt. He pretended to be joyful as he invited Upananda and the other cowherd men to come immediately to that place. Braja's Queen Yasoda and the elderly ladies heard this news, and they also came. And when everybody was comfortably seated, glorious Sri Krishna stood up and smiled and said, Kamsa, the king of the Bhojas, has sent us the following message. All of you, including the leaders of this community and including all of your children, should come immediately to the grand festival of Lord Shiva's bow and the wonderful wrestling match. And particularly, you should bring Krishna and Balaram, whose heroic prowess I yearn to see. They must especially come. Nanda's heart was full of anxiety when he saw that Krishna would have to go to Mathura. He began to discuss this matter with his brothers and the other elders, and he even sought Purnamasi to see if she was ready to give her blessings. Purnamasi came. She replied to Nanda's anxiety by saying, all bliss will come from your son's journey to Mathura. A host of cruel demons headed by Kamsa will run to their destruction. Nevertheless, I see that there will be some delay in Krishna's returning to Vraj. All of you, please consider this very carefully and decide what you should do. Aware of what was happening, Yasoda became bewildered. She had no power to speak even a word. The proclamation of Krishna's departure was now being announced everywhere, and it sounded to the residents of Vrindavan like the sound of a mighty thunderbolt. That night passed with great difficulty. When the morning arrived, finally, Krishna and Balaram bowed to the lotus feet of Yasoda and Rohini. Then they hugged them and they wept for a long time. Many dear friends came to see Krishna alone or in groups, while Akrura was standing outside shouting, "Now is the auspicious time to depart. Why do you not begin your journey immediately? This is the auspicious time." Krishna and Balaram bowed to their parents and their elders, who were stunned and motionless like a great painted picture. They spoke many sweet words in voices choked with emotion. Then they begged permission to start their journey. As Krishna stepped onto the chariot, all the people in Gokul became overwhelmed. Krishna said to them, "You are more dear to me than anyone. For your sake, I drank a forest fire as if it was just a drop of nectar. For you, I held a huge hill on my hand as if it was just a toy. My father and my friends, they will now depart with me. And in their absence, you ladies who will remain here, you must take care of the cows. You must take care of the cows to ensure that I am alive." And the young gopis, what was happening with them? They said, "By using a person called Akrura as its tool, destiny has given us misfortune, loss of intelligence, and inauspiciousness by taking Krishna away. But we should not blame destiny, nor should we blame this Akrura. We should only blame Nanda's son, Krishna, who is the master of our breath and who is now arranging his separation from us. At first, the gopis did not really believe that Krishna would go to Mathura. But when they heard that Krishna was stepping onto the chariot, they spoke so many bitter words, denouncing Nanda Maharaj and the whole cowherd community. "Oh, friends," they said, "there are millions of us. Let us all together bring Krishna, the master of our lives, off the chariot. What can our elders do to stop us?" Speaking these words, the gopis ran to the place where Krishna was about to depart. Although they were naturally very gentle, now these gopis had become very hard and harsh. They were so filled with distress that they ran there and tried to forcibly stop Krishna from departing. "Alas," they said, "alas, where have the eternal Rasa-lila pastimes gone now? Where have those pastimes gone that were full of bliss with Krishna?" Hearing the gopis lamenting makes the heart burst into flames. Although Radha had fainted, the sight of Krishna standing on the chariot was now manifest in her heart. When Krishna cast a glance in her direction, she did not see it because she already saw him within her heart. "Oh Govinda, oh Madhava, oh Damodar," the gopis cried. Then Akrura, holding very tightly to Krishna so that he could not get off the chariot, he swerved very expertly left and right to avoid the frantic gopis who had thrown themselves on the ground in front of the chariot's wheels. Then, following a secret path by the Jamuna so that none of the Brajavasis could see, cruel-hearted Akrura took Krishna and Balaram away. First, the gopis saw Krishna and the other elders. And then the sight of him receded into the distance. And they could see only the flags on top of the chariots. And then they could see only the dust raised by the chariots. With unblinking eyes, the young gopis watch. It was only the hope that Krishna was going to return soon that kept the gopis from ending their lives. The gopis began to write letters to Krishna, and they were carried backwards and forwards by Madhumanga. The gopis wrote using ink that was made of red kumkum or black kajal mixed with tears. Oh beloved, they said, now you are departing. When you have killed Kamsa and you have accepted the kingship, why would you return to Vraj? Therefore, we now place a request before you. In the glorious city of Mathura, a place that grants all kinds of benedictions, please, offer in our memory 3 palmfuls of water. Krishna replied, when I have killed Mathura's King Kamsa, I will quickly return. After all, how far is Mathura from Vraj, where I have already killed a host of demons? Why are you so unhappy? The gopis wrote back, in Mathura there are many glorious, fortunate princesses who will quickly become your beloveds. Why would your heart wish to stay amongst us gopi girls? Krishna wrote to the gopis and he said, I speak the truth when I say that nothing pleases me more, nothing pleases me as much as the forest of Vrindavan and you gopi girls. I speak the truth. Many such letters were exchanged, and gradually the gopis became a little more peaceful. They accepted that Krishna would definitely return soon. They became wrapped in thinking of hundreds and hundreds of his pastimes. And again and again they sang songs glorifying him. In this way the gopis exchanged letters with Krishna and became somewhat hopeful in these exchanges. But Radha was silent. She wrote no letter. She spoke nothing to Krishna.